Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Victory Network Radio Station, where we're transforming the nation with the Word of God, with our host prophetess, Sherita Berry.
Good evening, men. Welcome to Men's Bible Study on today. The Sons of Issachar Men's Ministry here at Victory and Praise Global International Prophetic Ministry, where we are transforming the nation with the Word of God. Today we're on part two and the Heart of Paul's theology on today.
About a woman who got married when she was just a young teenager. Being so young, she really wasn't ready for her new adult life. Before long, she grew anxious and started missing the familiar comforts of childhood. So one day, while her husband was at work, she sneaked back to her parents' yard and hid in her old playhouse. When her husband finally found her that evening, he held her trembling hands and gently led her back home. He knew living as an adult was difficult for her, but he also knew that she had to leave her childhood behind. A new day had come in her life, and it was time for her to enjoy the wonders and challenges of adult life with her husband. In the first century, something similar happened in the Christian church. Most early Christians were Jews who had grown up under the tutelage of the religious customs and laws of...
And this audio is brought to you by Third Mill, and we're listening to the Heart of Paul's Theology, Part 2, Paul and the Galatians, with Dr. Reggie Kidd, Professor of the New Testament. And you can find this on YouTube as a reference. Once again, I am Apostle Prophetess Sherita Berry, and welcome to Sons of Issachar Men's Ministry Tuesday Night Bible Study. As we continue the audio, the Heart of Paul's Theology, Lesson 2, Paul in the Galatians.
Judaism. But when these Jews started to follow Christ, their relationships with God changed. They reached a level of spiritual maturity because they had received a fuller revelation of God in Christ. But after a while, some of these early Jewish Christians missed the security and familiarity of their old Jewish practices and began to mix their Christian faith with outmoded elements of their heritage, and to insist that others must do the same. This second lesson in our series on the Heart of Paul's Theology is entitled Paul and the Galatians. In this lesson, we're going to see that the Galatian churches had regressed into spiritual childhood by reviving certain practices of Judaism, and we're also going to see how Paul reacted to these backward-looking Christians. Our study of Paul and the Galatians will divide into three parts. First, we'll look at the background of Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Second, we'll look at the content of his epistle to the Galatians. And third, we will examine how the letter revealed Paul's central theological outlooks, his doctrine of the latter days, or eschatology. Let's look first at the background of Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Paul wrote all of his letters as he traveled from place to place. So to understand the things Paul wrote to the Galatians, we need answers to some basic questions about the historical situation in Galatia. We'll explore this subject in two ways. First, we'll review Paul's contact with the Galatians during his first missionary journey. And second, we will look at some of the specific problems that motivated Paul to write to them. Let's look first at the background of Paul's first missionary journey. This journey began around AD 46, after God told the church in Syrian Antioch to set aside Paul and Barnabas for special missionary work. Paul and Barnabas began their journey by sailing to the Isle of Cyprus. Beginning in the eastern city of Salamis, they proclaimed the gospel from synagogue to synagogue as they moved to the western city of Paphos. From Cyprus, Paul and Barnabas sailed to Perga and then moved inland to Antioch in the region of Pisidia. which at that time was a part of the Roman province of Galatia. After hearing Paul preach the gospel in the synagogue there, many of the Jews responded positively. But within a week, unbelieving Jews incited the city against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. From Pisidian Antioch, Paul and Barnabas moved further east in the province of Galatia and stopped first in the city of Iconium. When they preached in the synagogue there, many Jews and Gentiles came to faith, but the church was not firmly established because Paul and Barnabas quickly left the city when unbelieving Jews plotted to murder them. Their next stop was the city of Lystra, where Paul managed to start another church. In Lystra, Paul healed a man who had been lame from birth. But when the people of the city saw this miracle, they mistook Paul for the god Hermes and Barnabas for Zeus. They tried to offer sacrifices to the missionaries, but Paul and Barnabas explained that they were mere men. Thereafter, some unbelieving Jews arrived from Iconium and were able to turn the disillusioned citizens of Lystra against Paul and Barnabas. But God spared Paul's life, and he moved on once again. Paul and Barnabas traveled east in Galatia as far as Derbe, where many people trusted Christ. In Derbe, Paul finally had time to organize the church by appointing elders. So, at risk of life and limb, Paul and Barnabas returned to each of these cities. They strengthened the Thessalonian churches and explained that the kinds of suffering the believers had seen in Paul and Barnabas were the sort of tribulations all Christians should expect to endure as they further the kingdom of God. From Pisidian Antioch, the missionaries made their way back to the coast, preaching in the cities of Perga and Attalia. And from Attalia, they sailed for Syrian Antioch. Now, in the book of Galatians, Paul referred to his time in Galatia. So we know that he wrote this epistle sometime after his first missionary journey, but it is important to note that the epistle to the Galatians doesn't mention the well-known meeting of the apostles in Jerusalem, recorded in Acts 15, which took place later. The assembly in Jerusalem addressed some of the same issues as Paul's letter to the Galatians, and Paul would have appealed to this assembly to support his views if the assembly had already taken place by the time Galatians was written. So it seems likely that he wrote Galatians in AD 48, within a year or so of leaving Galatia, but before the Jerusalem Council was held. Now that we've seen how the book of Galatians relates to Paul's first missionary journey, we should look at the specific problems in Galatia that concerned Paul. What were the conditions of the Galatian churches? What had happened in those churches that compelled Paul to write to them? We'll explore two issues: the influx of Gentiles into these churches and the rise of false teachers. Let's look first at the way the Gentile Christians flocked into the Galatian churches. One of the great things God did through Paul's first missionary journey was to bring many Gentiles to Christ. Much to Paul's surprise, most of the Jews in Galatia rejected the gospel. When Paul faced this widespread opposition, he came to realize that God wanted him to focus on reaching Gentiles. Listen to Paul's words to the Jews in Pisidian Antioch, recorded in Acts chapter 13, verses 46 and 47. "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us: I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." This passage reveals a major shift in Paul's ministry. As a Jew, he naturally gave priority to Jewish evangelism. But their negative reactions to the gospel convinced Paul that God was calling him to reach the Gentiles. And this he did with much success. Listen to the way Luke summarized Paul's work in Iconium in Acts chapter 14, verse 1. "At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. It wasn't just Jews who came to faith, but Gentiles too." In a similar way, in Acts chapter 14, verse 27, Luke reported how Paul summarized his first missionary journey, saying that God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Now, We might think that everyone would have rejoiced to see so many Gentiles in the Galatian churches, but the influx of Gentiles actually caused serious problems in Galatia, and these problems incited Jewish false teachers to rise in reaction. Until Paul's first missionary journey, the Christian church had been predominantly Jewish. The early church began in Jerusalem, and it held firmly to this Jewish identity. Consequently, the influx of Gentiles led to all kinds of theological and practical troubles. Did these Gentiles have to adopt Jewish traditions? Did they have to keep the law of Moses as Old Testament believers were required to do? These kinds of questions gave rise to false teachers in Galatia. These Jewish teachers came up with their own ways of dealing with Gentiles in the church by insisting that they be circumcised. During his missionary journey, Paul had not circumcised Gentile believers, but in his absence, the false teachers had taught just the opposite. Now, Paul knew that God had ordained circumcision for Israel, and he was not opposed to circumcision per se. But in Galatia, circumcision for Gentiles had become a very serious matter which Paul could not ignore. It represented a serious departure from the heart of the Christian gospel. We will touch on three ways in which Paul believed that insisting on circumcision for Gentile Christians reflected serious misunderstandings of the Christian faith. First, it denied the sufficiency of Christ's death and resurrection for salvation. Second, it demonstrated an improper reliance on the power of the flesh. And third, it resulted in division within the churches of Galatia. Let's look first at the way the false teachers had denied the sufficiency of Christ's death and resurrection for salvation. From the book of Galatians, we may surmise that the Galatian false teachers saw circumcision as a sacrifice of blood that enabled believers to live in a way that pleased God. In their view, Christians had to add circumcision to Christ's saving work. But from Paul's perspective, this belief stripped Christ's death of its true meaning and value. This is why Paul wrote these words in Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. In addition to denying the sufficiency of Christ's saving work, the false teachers in Galatia challenged Paul's gospel by teaching that believers must rely on the flesh to complete their salvation. Paul expressly referred to this problem in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, where he sarcastically asked these questions. Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? The Greek term rendered as human effort is sarx, often translated flesh. Paul typically used the term flesh or sarx to refer to mere human power, and often with the connotation of sinful human ways. So it is rightly translated here, human effort. When Paul first ministered in Galatia, his preaching had been accompanied by dramatic displays of the Spirit's power. The Galatians had begun their Christian lives in the power of the Spirit. But now, by turning to circumcision, they had begun to depend on their own human abilities to live in ways that please God. Ironically, this reliance on human ability actually condemned them to impotence and failure. In addition to denying the value of Christ's work and the importance of the Holy Spirit.
Once again, I want to welcome to Sons of Issachar Men's Ministries here at Victory and Praise Global International Prophetic Ministries. I am Apostle Prophetess Shreda Berry. Welcome to the men on today to the men's Bible study as we're on part two, the heart of Paul's theology, Paul and the Galatians, courtesy of the new audio with Dr. Reggie, which is the professor of New Testament, and we'll wrap it up for part two. We'll come back with part three on next Tuesday.
Paul was also deeply troubled because the false teachers had created divisions in the church. As Paul put it in Galatians chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. In Christ, the divisions between Jews and Gentiles had been eliminated. This unity in the churches of Galatia deeply troubled Paul. Quarreling and divisiveness among the people of God was absolutely contrary to what Christ had done and against the ideal toward which the church was to strive. But the false teachers followed the Old Testament teaching that circumcision was necessary for full inclusion among the people of God.
Guys, if you have a prayer request, you can email SharitaBrayMinistries@outlook.com, SharitaBrayMinistries@outlook.com, or you can visit the website by going to www.VSandVictor, P as in Paul, S as in Ice Cream, M as in Mary, S as in Sam, V as in Ball, Ministries.Weebly, W-E-E-B-L-Y.com, or you can contact 641-715-3900, extension 88423 pound, and leave your prayer request via the voicemail. Now back to the Heart of Paul's Theology, Part 2, Paul and the Galatians.
For many in the church, especially Jewish Christians, it was natural to think that anyone who refused circumcision was at best second class. It is no wonder then that divisions developed between those Christians who were circumcised and those who were not. So we see that the false teachers had brought some very serious problems to the Galatian churches. And having heard what these false teachers were doing, Paul could not remain silent. The Galatians were his spiritual children. They were his loved ones. So he wrote his epistle to rescue both Jewish and Gentile believers from the destructive views of these false teachers. Now that we've seen some important aspects of the background of Paul's epistle to the Galatians, we're ready to look more closely at the structure and content of his letter. What did Paul write to the churches of Galatia? How did he respond to their problems? We'll briefly explore the book of Galatians by summarizing each of its main sections. The epistle to the Galatians divides into six main sections. First, a prescript in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Second, an introduction to the problem in Galatia in chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Third, several historical accounts in chapter 1, verse 11 through chapter 2, verse 21. Fourth, a series of proofs for the doctrine of justification by faith in chapter 3, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 31. Fifth, some practical exhortations in chapter 5, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 10. And last, a postscript in chapter 6, verses 11 through 8.
Once again, I want to thank the men for joining the men on this evening. Sons of Issachar Men's Ministry Bible Study, Part 2, The Heart of Paul's Theology, with Paul and the Galatians. When we come back next week, we're still going to continue with Part 2 as we go into the audio and rush to the content in the book of Galatians. The narrator stated is divided into six parts. So when we come back on next Tuesday, 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Central Standard Time, we'll continue with part two, The Heart of Paul's Theology, Paul in the Galatians, audio, as we go into the content of the book of Galatians. Once again, if you have a prayer request, you can email SharitaBrayMinistries@outlook.com, SharitaBrayMinistries@outlook.com, or you can visit the website by going to www.VSandVictor, P as in Paul, I as in Ice Cream, M as in Mary, S as in Sam, B as in Ball, Ministries.Weebly, W-E-E-B-L-Y.com, or you can call in and leave your prayer request via the voicemail at 641-715-3900, extension 88423 pound. Once again, 641-715-3900, extension 88423 pound. And once again, I am Apostle Prophet Shreda Berry. And yes, we are transforming the nation with the Word of God, taking God's Word to every nation far and wide.
We pray you enjoyed today's broadcast. Don't forget, you can also find Sherita Berry Ministries on iHeartRadio and on Spotify. Connect with us on Facebook, Sherita Berry Ministries, or call 731-377-7770. Until our next broadcast, may God richly bless you and your family.